Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything that's in relation to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. Folks, here we are. We're a few weeks into 2026. We have our resolutions written. We're making some progress. Holiday season's over. And you know what? Scammers are already under the way. You know, the primary key is don't be a victim of fraud. Cyber criminals continue to adapt their techniques to find new ways through defenses. AI-assisted fraud is growing increasingly sophisticated and frequent. According to Global Report, deepfakes attempts occurs every 5 minutes, and that was in 2024. Hey, 2025 is going to be worse. Digital document forgeries increase over 240% year over year. Retail fraud was up 10% just during the holidays. Financial service, professional service sectors, fraud is up 28% just in a month. So here's the big thing. We have Simon Horswell. He's the senior fraud specialist at Entrust to walk us through. We're going to be talking about 7-8 frauds here to watch out here to protect yourself and your friends here in 2026. I'd like to welcome Simon Horswell to the show. Thanks for being here, Simon. You're becoming a frequent guest.
I'm enjoying it. Thanks for having me back, Steve. It's great to be here. Thank you.
It's something else. I get it. Defrauding people is a big business. At one point, I looked into it a number of years ago. I was talking to an FBI agent, and he goes, you know what? It's such a good business. It kind of grows at about 20% a year, and it's actually more profitable than most stock companies, which people don't realize. And it's nuts. So, you know, it's really very, very important as technology advances that people just understand what's going on, how it works, how to protect themselves, you know, the type of scripts and things that people say to get people to part with their money. And I do understand some of it's psychological. You know, they are fraudsters, they're con people and all that kind of stuff. So,
A lot of it is based on all of us fundamentally being nice people, having been brought up to be civilized. Right. And they kind of play on those scenarios. They play on those social desires that you have. And it's quite, you know, as you say, it is a growing business. But one of the reasons why it's so profitable is you don't have to be ethical. Right. There's no regulations if you're a fraudster. There's no honor among thieves, even in some cases. It's very easy to grow quickly if you slash ethics and don't worry about the other person.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I was just thinking about when you were saying that is a long time ago here in the States, there's called AAA Automobile Club. And I used to be an executive there. And our director of security is a former FBI agent. And he was explaining to me what was occurring in one of my offices. And I go, really? How does that happen? And he goes, don't worry. You just don't think that way. That's why we employed you.
Yeah,
exactly. I didn't get that people figured out. And it was as simple as people taking traveler's checks, okay, buying them, saying that they lost them or they were stolen and get them replaced. And people are doing that to launder money. Another person was using a certain codes with the phone system to make international phone calls act like he was talking to people about their insurance, but the reality is he was trying to scam somebody else in another country, making international phone calls on the company's dime.
On the company dime. Yeah, that's a beautiful model right there. I mean, if you turn that to bank magic, I don't see any problems with this.
It was like one of those things where like, how do you think up that stuff?
Yeah, it's like, so you're getting paid and you're making profit off the scam and you've got no overheads. This is genius. Oh, and the company you work for give you benefits as well. It's fantastic. It's a brilliant model.
His benefits became a sell, but that was a little different. But so let's get into it. Let's start talking about, hey, look, I know there's about eight or so that we really need to focus on right now. So let's just start with the first one. What's the first one that people need to be understand what's going on, how it works, what people say and do in order to snatch people up and take their money?
Yeah, so you mentioned deep fakes and the fact they're on the rise. It's one of the stats from our annual fraud report, and it's kind of topical because it's happening so much at the moment, but it actually is the one I'm going to kick off with as well. So you've now got generative AI making it so much easier for people to digitally steal someone else's face or digitally steal their voice and then use that in a scam against a loved one. So the victim in this case, having the face or voice of a loved one, call them, or it could even be your boss or something similar. So cloning voices, it can be from something that someone's left on TikTok. It could be from, you know, something they posted on Instagram. It could even be the outgoing voice message on your voicemail, if you still use that, right? but just that little snippet there is enough that you can clone someone's voice and then you can run it through a modulator so that when you call back to someone, pretty much in real time, tiny, tiny delay. Delays are getting smaller all the time, but you're hearing the voice of the person that you believe is, you know, the person you know, and they're, you know, essentially they're going to come up with a scenario like, I've been arrested, or I've been injured, I've been in an accident, I need money for bail, for hospital bills, or what have you. And then they're going to ask you for, you know, wire transfer, or in some cases it might be gift cards, or go to a specific site to make payment. Always the golden rule with all of this, you'll hear this as a theme that should come out from all of these. But basically if someone's pressuring you to make some kind of financial transaction immediately, there's a big sense of urgency. Even if it sounds like someone, you know, this is most likely going to be a scam. And the protection tip for this is very simple. So I think we started advocating this as soon as it became apparent how realistic deep face and deep voice have become. Essentially, you have to have some kind of safe word or drop in a question. And in most cases, I would always try and find a way to call someone back on the number that you know, the number that you can verify. So if it's claiming to be a family member, you've got a number for that family member. They might tell you in this call that they can't speak to you right now, or they've lost their phone or whatever. Call them back on the number that you know anyway. Prove that that story at least has got some validation to it. But always, if there is that sense of urgency to pay something, that should be your first kind of like red flag. And at that point, you have to sort of drop in a question like, are you there with your sister? Knowing full well they haven't got a sister, or they've got a brother, or, you know, you could make it like, are you there with your younger sister, or are you there with your older sister? Something like that. But something that they would know the answer to, then the fraudster's got to have a gamble, right? But it gives you that kind of option. If you haven't agreed a safe word, just a real trivial question, maybe even something that you wouldn't find posted on social media, to make it that much harder, because AI has made it a lot easier now for fraudsters to do their research and their background checks. Even with just a few details, it's much easier to go out and scour the internet and find out what someone's posted, where they posted it, and the kind of things that they're putting on their profile.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that. This is probably 15 years ago. I have a grandma who was in her 90s, got a call, and she actually thought it was my brother. And it was a similar story, but she goes, okay, no problem. Let me get back to you, like a sweet old lady she was. And she called my dad. And then my dad called my brother, who was in a board meeting. And he's like, what?
Just that simple phone call, just that little confirmation is enough to just kill this one dead. If you're contacting that person directly via whatever, you know, whether it doesn't matter with any of these scams who they're professing to be, whatever the scenario is, if you use the method that you know to contact someone and verify it, it removes a lot of that danger. And don't forget, again, we're talking about generative AI being involved in these. So all of these scams have started to evolve. In many cases, they're not new scams, but what has become difficult is how realistic they've become. So if you're on ChatGPT and you talk to ChatGPT, for example, there are obviously other sort of similar applications out there, you know, Copilot or what have you. But if you talk to that like a human being, it responds to you like a human being. You could have a very simple text conversation of like, oh my God, what happened? You'll get more details. It will sound realistic. It will sound like you're talking to a human being. There'll be no spelling mistakes. You know, the grammar will probably be better than if it come from the scammer directly. So all of this stuff has become a lot more realistic now, and that's what makes it so dangerous, is you won't be able to tell just by scanning it. You'll have to be picking out on the elements in there, the content, in terms of what's the scenario here, what am I actually being asked for, and just take that minute, take a breath, stop, verify, and then, you know, if it turns out to be true, then you have something to deal with. But otherwise, you're stopping a scam in its tracks just by verifying.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I was just thinking, hey, if it was me texting, people already know I can't spell, so
they go, oh, something's up here. The grammar's exemplary.
So it could be like, no, like,
I mean, this kind of thing, I've had it before now, where I think it was a guy I knew, another expert, and I'd been and done a job interview at his place, and I ended up going somewhere else, but we stayed in touch. And then suddenly out of the blue, I got an email where he was saying, oh, look, I've just been robbed. I have to reach out to people via email. If anyone can send me just a couple of quid, I'm in Tanzania at the moment. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just need to get enough money to get to the embassy. And of course, me being me, I just went, that ain't right. That can't be right. Reached out to the guy directly, just sent him a text message, and just, I said, what's going on here? Is this legit? And he was like, no, you're the third person today who's actually reached out to me about this. I don't know what's going on. In this case, I think it was his email had got hacked and someone was cloning his email address. But it just shows you it can happen, but that moment of verification, just stopping and verifying is the best way to actually stop this one happening.
Stop and verify is biggie. Okay, so let's talk about the next one.
Yeah, again, similar idea, but a slightly different scenario. And we've seen these ones popping up more and more. You can change the author if you like, but it'll be something like, in America, you would say the IRS. So it's fake IRS or fake government benefit scam, or you can swap this in for postal service or one of the major delivery companies. This is very, very common. I'd be very surprised if, you know, at least 20%, 30% of the people listening to this podcast won't have encountered or have heard of this happening. So basically what will happen is the scammer will impersonate either, you know, the IRS or there'll be Social Security, or there'll be Medicare, for example. They could be, you know, Fed Express, DHL, but there'll be some reason that they need to contact you, that something's been frozen or it's been suspended or it's been held somewhere and you need to make a payment, like you owe back taxes or you know, you have to give a refund or you have to pay duty on something because it's being held here. You know, in some cases they might claim, like with the IRS, they might claim that if you don't pay today, then you're going to be, you're liable to arrest. We'll come and arrest you. It will be something like that. And they'll ask you to confirm your details or put in your bank details. Or again, this idea of here's a link, go and pay it here. It's very, very tricky. And sometimes this might be in the form of a message, but this could equally be crossing the boundary between the two. This could equally be a phone call. We've got another one coming up as well. A very similar idea, but just a little bit more sneaky. Basically, they'll phone up. They'll prepare. They can phone up or text message is quite common. They'll pretend to be this organization. They'll give you a scenario that then again puts you feeling as if you're in trouble, and then you need to make this payment just to get out of it.
Yeah, you know, that's actually,
remember,
I was going to say that's a big thing that happens here in the States with the IRS, and they're doing it a lot with people who have language challenges, who are recently here, who recently become citizens, and things like that. And the reality is. Organizations like that don't make phone calls.
No.
They mail you stuff. Okay. They
exactly.
give you a phone number to call. The person who answers provides you with their ID. You know, when you talk to them, they don't ask, you know, it's just really very interesting how those occur. But you know, and I could see how people would be very afraid. Hey, I'm going to jail because they think I didn't pay my taxes. Okay. They don't.
And again, Yeah, and you see that theme in there again, right? They're putting you into fear. They're putting you into panic. Now they're pressing you for money, and there's a sense of urgency because of consequences. So it's this same theme coming up again. So we're changing some of the details, but the underlying scenario is the same. I make you scared, and now I give you a sense of urgency, and then I ask you for money. So you'll find that this is quite common with a lot of scams. It's either I make you scared, or I make you really, really comfortable and make it awkward for you not to pay the money over. So it's it's a scam we see all the world over. It's not just in the States. We see it in the UK. You know, we might have sort of immigration department, people purporting to be the immigration department, or in our case, customs. They'll contact you and say, hey, your immigration status needs to be dealt with. There's an overpayment, or you have duty that's overdue on this item here and it's going to be held. Again, with any of these are all organizations that you can very clearly get in contact with through official channels. It's not hard to find their details on the web, rather than trusting what's being given to you by the person who's telling you that you have this problem. So always verify. But it's a very sneaky one, and it's very mean, the people that it picks on in some cases.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because I've heard everyday people, like you said, who are honest and trusting, go, okay, I got to do this, we're fine. And the next thing you know, they paid money for nothing. Or one of them that I heard were, they're looking to validate, hey, look, we're trying to make a payment to you, and we need to validate your account number here. Could you provide that for us? And, you know, what bank is that? And they got everything and they go reverse on that. So,
I mean, this one is that one itself has kind of morphed over the years. This used to be quite often you'd get, we're in this country, member of your family, someone that is long distant relative. We tracked you down. We're a lawyer looking after their estate. If you give us your account details, then we'll be able to transfer you this massive estate that they've bequeathed to you, even though you've never heard of them before and don't even know if they exist. You know, it's similar kind of idea. It's all a slight twist or variation on the same idea of the Nigerian prince, but that one is appealing to your greed as opposed to one that's putting you in peril. But the next one, I mean, if I can go on to number four.
We're going to have to take a break. We're going to be right back, folks. You want to be here. You want to listen to Simon here. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. I truly want to thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you sharing this with your friends and family and associates. It's been wonderful. So let's get right back to these scams. Simon, You've got the next one. What is it here in 2026?
Yeah. So again, following on from the last one, I said there was another insidious twist to this kind of idea. And this is where the fraudster actually phones up and contacts you and claims to be from your bank, from the fraud department. Now they can support this by cloning the telephone number as well, so that when you look at the number on the back of your card, the number that appears on your caller ID looks the same, or maybe there's just one digit wrong way around or something like that. But generally speaking, it's not even that hard to clone the telephone number, so it looks like it's coming from the right source. There are platforms set up to do this for fraudsters now as well. So they claim to be from your fraud department. They tell you that they can see suspicious activity. And now they're telling you that it's live. They're watching it on screen. So now you've got that sense of urgency and that sense of peril. And it's coming from, again, someone who should be trusted. This is the fraud department from your bank. They can give you a false name. They can give you all the details that you can probably glean off the internet, or maybe they've even been through a similar process and they've made notes as they've gone through. So there'll be a script. There'll be certain things that they'll know that you're listening out for. And then once they've got to that, there'll be an idea of, right, well, we need to move your money to this safe account. They'll give you some bank details, or they'll ask you to disclose some details. Or maybe very kindly what they'll do is they will offer to do it for you now live on the call to make sure that everything's safe. They'll oversee it for you. And then during that call, as we know with telephone banking and sometimes with online banking, there will be a code. Part of the two-factor authentication, there'll be a code that's sent to you that you then have to type in to continue with that payment. And all that is the fraudster is now setting up the payment to wherever they want to go. And they're going to tell you, hey, I'm just going to ping you a 6-digit code so that you can confirm that. If you read that back to me, then I'll know this, you know, then I can proceed with it. It's just procedural, but it's for your safety and to keep your money safe. The minute you give them that 6-digit PIN, they've now done a successful transfer that seemingly to all of the bank systems you have authorized. And that money has left your account and it's gone to another one. And probably within the next couple of seconds, that's going to get spread out to a whole number of other different accounts and just it's gone. So it's very, very difficult. I know someone not too far away from me who actually got caught with this one time. And it's horrible, horrible moment because they're doing everything that you would expect your fraud department to do. They're saying key things that make it sound legitimate. And then they just push you for that little element that your bank will never do, particularly if they've contacted you. And again, same thing with this one. If you're receiving a call like that from the fraud department, I used to do it with legitimate calls from my bank fraud department. If they rang me up, I didn't know what the number was. I'd look it up online. I would then ring back through and get asked to be put through to the fraud department and then continue the conversation, but never take an unsolicited call at face value, and certainly don't disclose any of these details or agree to move money or make any form of payment. But a very, very tricky one that really kind of like is hiding. It's definitely the wolf in sheep's clothing in this one.
Oh, wow. You know, I was just thinking about what you said. I was just like, you know, it would be so easy for somebody to get caught up in that. Everyday people. I was going to say the best piece of advice I got from you remember the movie Catch Me If You Can?
Yes. With Frank Abagnale. Yes.
Frank. He did one of these things. He's still working for the FBI as a consultant and all that stuff. And he goes out and does these presentations. And I heard him talk and he goes, this is happening. This is 5 or 6 years ago. And he goes, the best thing you can do is stop, look up the number and call them back.
Exactly.
If they're reaching out to you, he goes, I'm going to say about 75-80% of the time, it's fake. I'm like, what? 75-80%?
Yep. No, he's totally right.
He goes, we're moving to the point where they're protecting people before where they don't even know it. It's being protected and all that's being paid attention. So when in doubt, you feel the pressure, make the phone call. Just stop and say, I got to call you back. You know what? Make the phone call. So,
well, I mean, in this particular scenario, this event that happened to an associate of mine, it was even worse. So they're kind of planning ahead for that to happen. So the fraudster actually said on the phone, completely calm, but just sort of said, look, you can call us back, right? By all means, you can see the number I'm calling from. Please call us back. But I will warn you that there's a big tailback of calls at the moment. The wait time on the queue is about an hour. And I can see them in your account right now.
Oh, wow.
So the fraudster is seemingly offering you that out, but in actual fact, they're then doubling down on the pressure. Like, mm-hmm. it's right there. I can see it on the screen. But I guarantee you, at no time has any bank ever offered to move your money to a different account in a case of fraud. If they suspect fraud, probably the first time you'll find out about it is they've frozen your account because they saw suspicious activity, which then prompts you to call them. That's normally how this works. They don't reach out to you and then ask you to move money to a safe account. That's not how this works.
Yeah, I was going to say, every time that I've had an issue with a fraudulent charge, it was usually a withdrawal from my account for or whatever. And I actually called the fraud department myself. And yep. they're like, okay, we're going to look into this for a week. And, you know, you'll have your money back or you'll get an answer from us. And it was as simple as that. I got my money back. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you decide to move your money, that's entirely up to you. But what the bank's more concerned with is keeping that secure. And the only way that money leaves your account is if you help it, unfortunately. That's yeah. either by giving away credentials or by authorizing a payment.
Yeah, that's too bad. Now, what's the next one?
Yeah, so this one is it's becoming harder. And again, more and more of our lives are taking place online. This is where we are seeing people, it's online marketplaces. It's not just online marketplaces, it's also ticket scams. And again, this is kind of multifaceted. It's one thing if you're going and trying to buy something, so somewhere like Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or one of the ticket resale platforms, maybe. What the fraudster will try and do is get you to leave. If you're on like a ticket resale platform, they're likely going to get you to try and leave and go somewhere else so that you're then playing where they want you to play. It's quite easy to get someone to agree to pay for something and then the goods don't materialize or something similar. But at the same time, if you are selling something, you need to be very wary of the people that are contacting you because they kind of do this in reverse. They'll then say that, I've just sent you X amount. Can you, I've sent you too much money. You only wanted $60. I've sent you 200 by mistake or 600 by mistake. Can you send me back the difference? And I'll, you know, just refund me the difference. Send it to this account details. But don't worry, the money will come through for that 60. Your bit's paid for. They're never going to turn up. They have no intention of buying anything. They're trying to do a switch on you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the, oh, you gave me a 20, right? It's that scam. So it's quite a common trick. It happens all the time. But do be very wary of it. As we use Facebook Marketplace, particularly at moments where people are sort of looking to try and make a few extra bucks by selling some of their stuff online or try and pick up cheaper goods because times are a bit harder, this is where the fraudsters like to live. It's only when things get really hard that fraud really explodes because people are a bit more aligned, a bit more open to the idea of something seemingly being too good, but I'll take the chance. And that's where this comes from. So yeah, fake payment screenshots, overpayment scams, as I mentioned, is a big part of it. Duplicating or reusing any of the digital ticket numbers that you may see as well.
I see. And I was just thinking, and this is many, many years ago, I was at the bank where an older lady, and this was the apartment scam thing where they make a bigger deposit, similar type thing. And what they did is they sent her a check. And this is the time period where it takes a little time for the check to clear.
Yep.
Okay. And whilst after she deposited it, she was at the bank. She goes, well, I'll just take out the extra money and get a cashier's check and send it to them. And they're like, what are you doing? How come you're doing yeah. this? Did you know that's a scam? She goes, oh, no, it wouldn't be. And I remember just listening going, oh,
no,
my
but
God.
I'm safe. You can trust me.
She's trying to defend somebody who's trying to scam her, and the bank's telling she's got a scam. I mean, it went on for a while, and it was just I was just like, oh my God, is that happening? He goes, it happens more than you think. Where these nice old ladies, they come in, they put the person's check in there. It might take 3 or 4 days for it to clear, but in the meantime, they've got a cashier's check and are ready to put it in the mail.
Acting in good faith. All acting in good faith. Again, it shows you're a decent or trusting person, right? And again, that's what they're playing for. They're aiming for people that are like that. There's a reason why they attack older people. It's that they're you know likely to be more vulnerable or not quite catch up with how things can work now. Mm-hmm. And it's quite insidious. But with something like the ticket one, this is something I personally experienced where. I didn't know which Facebook group it was, but my wife said, oh, look, there's some tickets for this sports events going on for this major game. You really want to go to that with our son? I was like, yeah, of course I do. And first of all, I said, where did you see this person from? Oh, it's from the local group, from our local Facebook group. So I started the conversation. As I was going through the conversation, I was like, no, this is a scam. I kept saying to the guy, like, where are you? You're in the same town as me, right? Yeah, of course I am, buddy. Of course I am. Of course I am, mate. Of course I am. Great, let's meet up then. Oh, I'd really like to, mate. I'd really like to, but I'm just so slammed with work. It's like, but the event's not for like 2 months. You're telling me in 2 months we can't just meet? Literally, just tell me where. Give me your postcode. I'm sure I'm just two doors down from you or something like that. This is our community Facebook. Mm-hmm. And as the scam went on, I kept getting the same repeated lines of, really sorry, mate. I'd love to, but, and that constant excuse of why they can't meet you, again, is another red flag. As it turned out, it wasn't from our community Facebook. It was somewhere else on Facebook that my wife had seen it. So it was just a complete scam from start to finish. And the guy started getting very, very annoyed with me when I just sort of saying, okay, well, I'm not going to send you the money and let's just meet in person. And I kept pushing to meet in person. And then he started accusing me of calling him a scammer when I hadn't at that point accused him of it. But I certainly became more convinced of it the more he protested.
Wow. Okay, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back. We got a few more scams to look out here with Simon Harswell.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. I want to truly thank you for tuning in and sharing us with your friends and families and your associates. All the replays are available here on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight and information on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Hey, you can always follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. You know what? I want to thank Simon here. He's up late there in the UK talking with us today. So Simon, we've got a few more scams to get through before the show's over. So let's go on to the next one. And I think it's really interesting what you're saying, first of all, is because obviously somebody's putting a little pressure on. They want to continue that pressure, so you'll make a move to give them money. They're always looking to manipulate. And the big theme with most of these so far is take a step back, breathe, call people, or call your family, or call somebody to make sure it's real. okay? Or in the case with the ticket scam or the merchandise scam, is to make sure that they're really asking for details. Because if you're looking to buy something, it's about the details. And if you don't have,
not just where are you and what are your pay, you know, what's your bank account? That those aren't the first questions that generally come out when I'm going to buy something. You know, mm-hmm. It's how big is it? What does it look like? What condition is it in? Can you send me a few more photos? Or it looks really good, but does it do this? Does it do that? You know, those kind of questions.
And then when I'm thinking, okay, what's the name of your bank? What's your account number? What's your address? I've got most of the, you know, probably.
What's your mother's maiden name? You know,
is there a password code that goes along with that? So, hey, let's go.
What's your social security number?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's get into the last couple scams. So what's the next one?
Well, again, when times are hard, people look for jobs. When there's, when you're looking to change job, maybe you've been out of work for a bit, or maybe you're just looking to move to a different job. This is an ideal opportunity, and we've seen this scam evolve as well. And there's a couple of elements to it. So first of all, there's the job offer. And the job offer is, red flags should be, even in this day and age where we're doing stuff remote, if they don't have a premises, if you haven't got somewhere to go down, I mean, with the employer I work with, it might have been that I started off with the initial interviews being remote, but certainly when it got to the sort of final stages, you're in person. They mm-hmm. want to see you. As much as you want to see them and get a feel for the place, they want to see if you're a good fit. That's when you know they're taking it serious. If it's entirely remote one, well, you know, how formal are the interviews? And again, you have to bear in mind now that we've got these problems with generative AI and deepfakes, and the fact that many different things online can be manipulated, can be kind of cheated and digitally rendered. So you do have to kind of be a bit wary about that. So that's your first point there. Maybe you've been, and this is where the real scam comes in, you've been asked to give some money over to help set up your remote environment, right? So this is quite a common thing, like, okay, you need to send us this much money so that we can send you a laptop and then we can send you an office chair or what have you. But they're asking you to make that kind of investment up front. Or another one, again, similar to, not too dissimilar to the idea that we had with the marketplace scam. What will happen is you'll be sent the equipment up front, and then they come with the ask for, can you send us some money back for that?
Really? So I thought if you work for something, you don't have to pay for your stuff.
Well, in this particular scam, it's very, very odd. Most companies I've worked for, there's an allowance for that, and it's kind of part and parcel, and it's generally after someone's met you in person as well. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise they have no more idea that you are a live human being than you are that they are a legitimate company. But again, some people feel more comfortable with that than others. But in reality, what's generally going to happen is, and particularly with this equipment one, it could be that they're conning you out of money, or it could be that they're actually using you to launder money, right? So I give you the equipment, you then give me the money back, the money's now clean, and off it goes. But the other facet to this kind of job thing, so in addition to just kind of like this job offer scam, sometimes that job offer can actually be you helping a fraudster open a fake account somewhere else because of the identity verification part component of it. So you're now completing identity verification with your genuine biometrics, with your genuine identity document or your genuine credentials. They're then using that to open an account somewhere else, genuine credentials. They are basically doing a man-in-the-middle scam, and you are opening a sleeper account on their behalf that they will control, but with your details on it.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's we've seen this kind of stuff already. And then in addition to that, you've got the easy work from home adverts. So I think maybe, depending on which magazines you've gone through or which newspapers you've read through, if you go through your classifieds, you might well see one that says easy work from home. At best, they're likely to be a pyramid scheme. At worst, you're actually looking at someone hiring you as a money mule.
Oh, wow.
And it is very easy money, but it's not very legitimate, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I get that. I was just thinking, was it latter part of last year? I used to develop businesses overseas, and I worked in many countries, and I did some stuff for the Bank of Australia and stuff like that. So I got a call, and they said, hey, look, you helped us do a turnaround about 15 years ago. Would you be interested in doing this? We'd like to fly you out to Australia, after a number of conversations to see if this is a fit. And I'm like, I didn't do it, but I was like, okay, I'm just thinking, if you're looking to hire somebody, and it is a lot of money nowadays to hire somebody, you're going to want to see them and have conversations with them and make sure they're up to it.
Exactly.
Because, you know,
but generally though, right, if I'm employing someone in the US, I'm going to have a premises somewhere in the US for tax reasons and legal reasons. I will have an entity in that country. If I'm employing someone in Germany, for example, I'm likely to have an office in Germany. It's quite unusual that I would employ someone in Germany and I don't have any presence there at all that they can interact with in person.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's something to think about. So that's the job scam. What's next?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, and the final thing with the job scam, of course, is no real job pays you to move money through your own account. That is not a job. That is a money mule setup. Okay, just so we're all clear on that one.
Nobody's going to pay me to give me money? Come on now.
Yeah, it's easy money. All that, the money comes in, I get money for that, and I'm going to send it on somewhere else. It doesn't exist as a job.
But anyway. I can see how somebody who's desperate, that they would lower their morals to do something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what they're kind of paying, you know, they're playing on there. But how many more do you want?
Just one.
Just one more. In that case, I'm going to go with the, let's go with the romance
That's
the slight twist on that. I love the title of pig butchering as well. But the two quite often go hand in hand. So again, if you look online, you'll probably find whole YouTube channels devoted to this. I think sort of maybe it started in the US with the Catfish series that I think it had on MTV or something. It started with a film, Catfish, and then there was a popular series, at least it aired over here as well. But take this a step further. It's not just people pretending to be somebody else. It's people pretending to be somebody else with an end goal in mind. So romance scams are pretty much what it says on the tin. Someone will create a profile or a social media account, could be a dating profile or just a social media account. They'll reach out to their target or they'll just sit and wait. And again, this idea of a catfish, because then I grab you at that point. But it will be an AI generated profile. Previously, I think it's been images of other people that have been stolen from somewhere else, like pictures of models. Not even necessary now, which makes it that much harder to do some of the background checks that you might do. So quite easy to take image A, go and put it into a search engine that checks photos and then see where else it's cropped up. If it's AI generated, then it could be the only example of this that exists. It's relatively easy to get that same person that you've created into different images and different scenarios, and they're becoming more and more realistic now every day. So having created this fake AI persona, you then start to run through the traditional kind of romance conversations that you would have with someone. Building it up, so, you know, love bombing them is a classic sign of this. So hitting someone with lots of emotion, powerful emotion early on, maybe lots of poetry, stuff like that. Again, any of these items, if you're starting a relationship with someone that you've never met in person, then it's not to say that it can't happen. And I'm not saying that it should be sort of given any kind of negative connotation, but you must go in with your eyes open and you must be wary. So if someone's hitting you very early doors with a whole lot of emotion, a whole lot of love bombing, you need to take everything they're saying with a pinch of salt and then just wait. And if the conversation suddenly starts turning to like, I'm in having trouble, or I'm really hard up, or I just need this thing because I'm having this particular problem right now, again, coming back to the same idea we had at the beginning with the emergency scenario, then again, that's your red flag right there. You take this a step further. And instead of like, I've got an emergency, but it's like, I'm thinking about our future together. We should invest together. I've come across this app and it's brilliant. Look at this. I put this much in, I get this much back. Here's a screenshot. Look at my account. It's crazy, the investment turnaround. You should get involved as well. And this is the beginning of what we call pig butchering. So it's taking the idea of a romance scam or even just sort of like a contact that you've made online, but it's pushing an investment idea. And what might happen at first is your first couple of investments, I just put in 100 just to see how it went, or I put in 10 just to see how it went, you'll see screenshots that show you how well that performance is doing, or you've downloaded the app, or you've gone to the website and the performance looks great. So having seen how well it's performing, the next step of pig butchering is like, good, you like that? I'll feed you a bit more. Wow, look how much money you're making. Let's put some more in. Can you imagine how much more money we get if we put in even more money? So at that point, you now start to invest more heavily because you're seeing this amazing return of investment. But none of that money ever existed. They are screenshots. They are a spreadsheet that you put in this number and it produces this number. The point where you try to retrieve that money is when you'll find that it doesn't exist. And by that point, you've already invested, you've already put in large chunks of money, and it's all gone.
Yep. I personally know of three people now who've done that one thing on the investment piece. And even though people warned them, in fact, one of them, even a police officer warned her, and she still did it. And she was so embarrassed by it. She didn't file any claim or charges or anything like that until the IRS said, hey, you owe us $200,000 because you took all this money out of your IRA. I've seen some people get their retirements destroyed just on that alone.
Yeah. So it's so sad. And it's, again, it's picking on those people, those vulnerable people, or those people that are looking for someone, and it's just playing on it. And it's just cheating them out of a future that they've been saving for. And in some cases, these people don't have that money and they just find themselves going further and further into debt. Never mind wiping out their savings. They're putting themselves into real negative equity just to try and keep up with something that doesn't exist. It's so sad. And that idea of isolation as well, I think, is a really good point. It's that idea of making you feel stupid and stopping you from talking to loved ones to actually prevent this from happening further.
And one of the other things was that I was introduced to somebody whose son asked me to talk to him. And he's actually from the UK. And he received an email, and it's a very personalized email that had a lot of little details about him. And it was actually from Elton John asking him to work with him to invest in one of his projects, and he would get royalties and stuff like that. And your face just tells everything. I'm just like, why would Elton John need your money?
Yeah. Well, that multi-platinum millionaire Elton John who lives in LA.
He's a couple hundred million dollars.
He needs my money?
Why would he need your money? I don't know, but this is a great opportunity. He says it might be, but he doesn't need your money. So why would he ask for it? Why would he crowdfund to you?
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And it's just nuts. And I just can't believe it. So,
but this is one of the tricks of the fraudster as well, is to isolate people and try and remove that voice of common sense. Or if that voice of common sense is there, try and alienate that voice of common sense. So it's like, they don't understand. They don't know what we've got. It's going to sound weird to them, but you and I know it's genuine. And they keep sort of playing on this to isolate the victim as much as possible. And then, as you were saying, it's that feeling of, I've really messed up, and that embarrassment and that shame. And actually, you're the victim. Why should you feel embarrassed or shame that someone has they've taken advantage of you? And it's just this idea of isolating you so you can't get help, and that you don't tell other people about the problem. But you know what we're doing here is airing a lot of these so that people don't get caught and they do have the ability to either help themselves or help a loved one.
Simon, I want to thank you so much for being here today on Saving with Steve. This has been wonderful. Hey, if companies or people need to get help from you, how would they go about connecting with Entrust?
Yeah, so if you reach out to us at www.entrust, that's entrust.com, you just follow all the chat that's in there. We'll be able to help you out with whatever you're looking for.
Simon, thank you so much for sharing these today, because this is going to help a lot of people. What we will do is start cutting these up from what you just said, and we're going to continue to post it so everybody has a source to go to. So we appreciate that. Thanks for being with us today, Simon. I hope you have a good, wonderful rest of your year.
Thank you. You too. See you soon.
With that, I hope you have a wonderful week. From me to you right here on Saving with Steve. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.